You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here for Columbia Calling. I'm in London, England, visiting the homeland this week for episode 241. Very exciting to be here. Yes, in case you asked, the heat wave is over. I have had fish and chips, and I haven't had a Guinness yet, but it's been great being over here so far this summer and seeing a little bit of everything and old haunts and visiting with old friends. That's part of what it's like being an expat and living overseas is coming back and checking things out. Of course, one great shock to me was that the old pound coins are no longer in circulation. So I was made to look the Muppet the other day trying to buy a coffee in a popular coffee haunt with old pound coins, and informed in front of a large line of people waiting behind me that this was no longer legal tender. So I guess I should come back more frequently. Anyway, very interesting for that indeed to experience that in my own country and feel really like a fish out of water. So a couple of things to share with you. As you'll know, if you follow us on social media outlets, the Columbia Calling podcast has been nominated for a Latin Podcast Award in both the Columbia and Society and Culture categories. So that's for high praise in the 2018 Latin Podcast Awards. It's not a voting thing, otherwise I'd all be getting you to vote. It's something more about the judges listening to the quality, the intonation of the voice, the quality of the recording. So in terms of the quality of recording, of course, I will be right down there in the dumps, but perhaps with the intonation of the voice and subject matter, I'll come up smelling roses. And also the second announcement, of course, is that the Mompos Project, my little project, my book, I've adapted an extract for the a literary magazine based out of New Orleans, Louisiana, USA, called The South Writ Large. And I adapted a piece from the Mompos Project called Sonia and the Gringo. And that's what today's show will be about, this episode 241. And for those of you who listen frequently, you'll know that episode 221 indeed was, that's 20 episodes ago, was the first chapter of the Mompos Project. So a little bit of an intro, and then this one, it's no particular order at the moment, it's just something I worked on and it has been published out there, so it's getting a little bit of a following, and I'm quite proud of it. So I would like to read this section to you, and of course it's a call and a cry for help in the darkness here over the microphone. If anyone knows editors or publishers potentially interested in this document that I have, it's not easy out there. It's not easy. You get knockbacks, and I get the feeling that you need to know someone in the know in the system to be able to advance. And of course, it's primarily obviously a financial issue. And if they think it won't sell, then it won't sell. And therefore, they won't publish it because it costs money to publish these books. But that aside, let's plunge into this extract that has been, it has been helped along and altered somewhat to get into the South Writ Large magazine, which you can look online, southwritlarge.com. This is called Sonia and the Gringo. With coffee in place, good Colombian coffee, tipo exportacion, on my desk, I settle down to write a journal entry. At the moment of writing, I'm hoping there'll be no interruptions here in Mompos. And why should there be in this sleepy town? Mompos, a backwater with its laconic pace of life in rural Colombia, has captivated my imagination since 2007, and everything about the town is literary and beckons me to put pen to paper. Speak to anyone here, and they'll mention the cultured nature of their kin. They'll say that in the past, there was a university, the first on the Colombian Caribbean coast. That this is the mythical town of Macondo, of 100 years of solitude. That the great liberator of northern South America, Simón Bolívar, raised an army of 400 Mompocinos, as the townsfolk are known, to march on Caracas to fight in the noble cause of independence and loosen the shackles of colonialism held by Imperial Spain. One can reflect on the turns that a life takes. Who would ever have thought that I would have ended up here? And as a foreigner, a guest amongst them, in a country that has opened its arms to embrace me as if I were one of their own, that I would suggest that of the 400, precious few actually made the journey from the soporific lowlands and extensive wetlands where Mompos is found, landlocked yet amphibian due to the presence of water everywhere, over the foothills of the Andes as far as Mérida in neighboring Venezuela and on to Caracas. Legend has it that these Mompocinos who, despite believing in the cause, upon feeling the chill of the altitudes about Mérida, preferred to return to their homes and busy themselves casting their nets for the plentiful Boca Chico and Bagre river fish to provide for their families as the struggle for independence settled on focal points elsewhere. Today, visitors can admire a plinth located in front of the Palacio San Carlos in the center of Mompos, remembering those fearless 400, and Momposinos are quick to inform that theirs was the first town to declare absolute independence from Spain. A neighbor also claims to have a family tree in his home showing, nay, proving, that his lineage extends back to a medieval town in Spain and that his forebears were none other than the conquistadores themselves. Inspired by the writings of Nobel Prize-winning Colombian author Gabriel García Márquez and the wonders of the Magdalena River, I arrived in Mompos to pen an article on the austere Semana Santa celebrations and ended up staying. Colombia, el riesgo es que quieres quedar. A promotional slogan for Colombia that could have been written for me was a careful play on words setting up a long-running debate on whether the publicist behind this bold statement should have played off tourism against the risk of kidnapping. An image that Colombia has been trying to shirk for more than a decade now. Audacious and controversial. Wherever you stand with regard to the statement and its duplicitous nature, it's a strong catchline, and I, like so many writers, travellers, authors, and wandering souls, am testament to this positivism spun out of a negative international perspective. It's Colombia through and through. It's the search for a post-colonial identity and levies the question of how one society can move forward against a mountain of contradictions, a justifiably poor reputation, and a sense of inferiority in a globalized world. For me, hailing from a country still struggling to cope with post-imperial designs and its role in the world, while weighing in on the importance of schooling, surnames, and heritage, Mompos and Colombia's struggles have been easily recognizable and strike close to home. There are more pressing immediate problems here, though, which I cannot help but feel are connected to larger societal issues stemming from the town's feudal past and its struggles. The trash piles up in front of my guest house when we have people to stay. There is no refuse collection at the moment in Mompos. There is supposed to be, they just don't come. Sometimes they come, maybe once a week at best, despite the fact we pay for it and our water mains will be shut off if we don't. This is Mompos and this is Colombia. Don't ask and be careful if you complain. Someone, somewhere is benefiting from this, but it's not at my Casa Amarilla hotel. That our waste collectors prefer not to work during periods of high water and when the dump is flooded is understandable. Simply put, there is nowhere to deposit the rubbish except in front of colonial homes, creating an unpleasant frieze of 21st century consumerism set against a backdrop of stately homes dating back to the 16th century. But now these waters have long subsided, and we have gone a year without a formal refuse collection. Our UNESCO World Heritage status is being challenged due to the current administration's failure to resolve the issue. Now the floods have ceased and the dump is dry. And why aren't they coming around? People have resorted to tossing their black bin bags full of daily detritus into the river. And this practice has been going on for eons. My mother-in-law and extended family no longer fling their black plastic bags full of rubbish into the river after my rebuke at their behavior. At least they no longer do this when I am around. But the people here, and I am not defending their actions, are only doing what comes naturally to them after centuries of conditioning. Alongside this absence of waste collection, as with so many parts of the developing world, an informal economy has sprung up, activated by our needs. Unfortunately, there's no recycling of discarded materials here, but the most hard-working, humble folk have brushed off their old bicycles, adapted them to push a front-loading cart, and now do the rounds, collecting what is cast away by others. But there are other methods as well. For one resourceful señora, Sonia, and her family, the lack of refuse collectors is just fine. She makes a good income coming around with her caromula, horse-drawn cart, to pick up our trash and take it to the dump. The pay varies according to the quantity. Obviously, I am appreciative of her service and always give a little more. I like to think that she comes with a smile and a cheery remark due to the fact that here she is treated like a person rather than a refuse collector. Gringo, she bellows through the window of our sala that looks onto the road and the Magdalena River. Tienes basura? Her smile reveals silver-capped teeth. She sees me at my desk. I look up over my laptop at Sonia and am happy to see her. Obviously, there's rubbish. This is the land where the toilet paper does not go down the drain. It collects in baskets and then needs to be emptied. Our drains cannot manage sodden triple ply. I refer to these soiled papers, paper towels affectionately as shit tickets. The terminology used in bathroom humor always garners a smile from younger tourists, and then just perhaps they'll remember not to throw their toilet paper in the loo and block Mompox's tragically fragile drains. Today is no different. Gringo, tienes basura? Yes, there's three bags. I hand over a little more than $2. She has come with her husband. He says, El no es gringo, el inglés es Mompocino. I am pleased. This has taken just over 3 years. And on the following day, mi gringo. She comes and hollers through the colonial ironwork on the window. She waits. She knows I'll appear. Her very appearance brightens my day. My staff jokes that these are visits from my novia, a frequent caller who comes to take away the trash every other day here in Mompox. ¿Cómo estás, mi gringo? I am well. I am happy. I am happy and married. The Casa Amarilla is full. Reservations continue. The restoration of a new room is complete, and we can accommodate more guests now. Sonia tells me that she has had to move house. Her home flooded more than 2 months ago when the Magdalena and Cauca rivers that pass the island started to swell. With incessant rains in the Colombian interior, the situation got so bad that Bogota was pretty much cut off from the rest of the country. The country's capital was as good as incommunicado. She now lives in a barrio called La Feria, in a tent provided for her family by the Colombian Red Cross. La Feria is not really even a district. It's a section of a playing field at a neighboring high school. The land is slightly higher and so will not flood so fast there. If it continues to rain, she'll have to move again. Of course, she's not my novia. I have already mentioned that I am happily married, but in jest, she is referred to as my novia, just as I know that secretly she has told my staff that I am her novio, but that it's a secret. Mi gringo, she begins. ¿Cuándo vas a tener gringuitos con tu esposa? When are you and your wife going to have children? Not right now, I say, looking wistfully at the rising water levels outside. Sometime in the future. Pero ya, así que tu gringuito puede casar con mi hijita. But have them now so that your little gringo can marry my daughter. We both laugh, her capped teeth shining. Her visit always brightens my day. Then one day I decided to ask Sonia after her family and where she is now living. And your daughter, I asked, how is she? What daughter? Sonia responds. I relate her tale of months back during the flooding, and a grin appears across her face as her eyes pucker. She remembers. I don't have a daughter. I just wanted to chat with you. I really don't mind. There's a naivete, an innocence, and pleasant familiarity when talking about one's family here. All she wanted to do was engage in a social interaction. I try to always save my garbage for Sonia, but perhaps due to her advanced years, she is not making the rounds so early anymore. Now, there's a young entrepreneurial type, maybe in his early teens, who gets to the Casa Maria at around 7 a.m., usually before the guests are awake. As you can imagine, it's a benefit to me and for the business to have the ripening waste from the previous day out and rid of before breakfast. Where does the endless flow of stripy bin bags go? Along the highway to the east, an area easily identified by the prevalence of skulking vultures. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's either here or in the river. You can decide which is more damaging. Over time, our friendship grows, and clothes left by guests are routinely donated to Sonia and her family living on the edge of ruin. Where are your new shoes? I ask of the trainers gifted a few days previously. Her smile is contagious. I cannot help but follow suit. She is immensely grateful. These are good shoes, hardly used. When you take me dancing, I'll put them on. And then she cackles in her riotous laughter. We never go dancing, but I do get invited to her home with Alba and Esther. It is the afternoon following her grandson Juan Felipe's baptism. We bounce over rutted dirt pathways to reach her barrio on the other side of the highway. Our arrival in this neighborhood turns heads. It is unusual to see a gringo and people from the colonial area visiting here. Corrugated shacks make up the neighborhood, haphazard wires strung perilously about, tap into the main grid to supply power to a single bare light bulb that hangs in the main rooms. And of course, there are the ubiquitous sound systems. Sonia's house is spotless, and I can tell that everything is just so for us. For we are the guests of honors and the godparents to Juan Felipe, her grandson. I have but one godson. In a baptism organized for multiple children and families beneath the wooden carving of a black Christ in the Iglesia San Agustin, Alba and I swore to care for Juan Felipe in the event that anything should happen to his family. As we stepped out of the church for photos, I reflected on the nature of this ceremony. 80 years ago, when the river last flooded, the Black Christ was lifted from its place above the altar and led in a short procession along the callejón to the river, where the priest bathed its feet and asked for the waters to recede to spare the town. Alba's grandmother still remembers the event. She was a little girl at the town, and the whole town participated. Only 2 weeks prior to our attendance at Juan Felipe's baptism, the Christ had once again been paraded as far as the river. The water levels began to drop a day or so later. While the rainy season had come to an end, hundreds of people were present at this event. You can find it on YouTube if you search hard enough. Alba's grandmother, even in her advanced age, attended once more. Along the riverbank, human detritus and plastic bags poke through the surface of the water. But my period of introspection continues afoot beneath the eaves of the yellow-painted church and under the glare of the semi-equatorial sun, threatening to scald my pale Northern European skin. Without this natural disaster, in part worsened by human activities and waste, I would never have met Sonia. We would never have become godparents to Juan Felipe, and my ignorance of the town beyond the ornate bubblegum-colored confines of the colonial center and its claims to Colombia's history and independence from Spain, debatable and dubious, or not depending on what you choose to believe, would have continued uninterrupted. Well, that was Sonia and the Gringo, an adapted extract of the Mompos Project. I hope you've enjoyed this, episode 241, which is a follow-on to episode 221. Please check out the Latin Podcast Awards and, of course, the South Writ Large, or, you know, even pitch something at them. It's a great magazine online based out of New Orleans in Louisiana, USA. That was, as I said, an extract of the Mompos Project. I am looking for an editor and I am looking for a publisher. So anything that you can throw my way, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com, and of course on Twitter @columbiacalling and on Facebook columbiacalling. So thank you again for your time, for your continued faithful listenership. I will be back next week with episode 242 and further interesting tales from Colombia. So that's goodbye from me, Richard McCall, the host of Columbia Calling this week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.